the home team.
And here we go.
All right, to kick it off hour number two, it is the home team on a Monday. Chris Brame, Jeff Dantzler with you till 7. And then late night tonight, we'll have the Braves and the Dodgers from L.A. Atlanta with a weekend in Miami, and now they get to go to L.A. That's a heck of a vacation they're on right now, but we'll have that coming up for you tonight. But first, it is the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, you know, while I mentioned the Braves there, we'll just go ahead and get this subject out of the way. Now, Jeff, on Friday night, you might remember that Kevin Gausman started for the Braves.
So it was an incident.
So you ask yourself, like, boy, that's odd. Kevin Gausman starting again tonight on 2 days rest. Well, he only threw 28 pitches on Friday night because Atlanta decided that, yes, they had not had their revenge on Jose Urena. So he comes up to the plate and first pitch from Gausman, throws it at him, which does not hit him, by the way. Also, the Marlins had runners on second and third at this time, so the Braves were willing to load the bases for Curtis Granderson, who, he's not Barry Bonds or anything,
right,
but he is the Grandy
player.
Man.
Yes.
And, you know, at that point, you're sitting around 500 after the first month of the season, or you're a game under 500 at that point. Maybe you don't need to be putting guys on base. Anyway, so the Braves don't hit him. Gausman ends up getting ejected from the game. Obviously, at that point, you know you can't even throw at him anymore. Otherwise, guys are just going to get ejected. So here's the question now. Is this over from Atlanta, or are the Braves now like, gosh, we didn't hit him, so the next time the Braves and Marlins play, they're going to keep trying to hit that guy until they actually do?
So is this one of those romances? You break up with a girl, but then you kind of get the late-night phone call. Well, let's talk. So I'm hoping this is a clean break with this, because it was one of those deals. I'd kind of forgotten about it in the offseason. I think you and Dave both brought it up last week. I was like, oh, yeah, that thing.
Because he never pitched against him since that day.
Right. So then the deal is – okay, well, they got to hit him the first episode. Well, that's going to be in the first or second
inning. Yes, they
are. So, all right, so let's just kind of be done with it. But like you said, with the Braves, they're in no position, especially with the Marlins being so bad, they're in no positions to put themselves in a position where they could possibly give a game away. I mean, for them to have a chance to win the division, Bramer, they play 19 games against the division.
Yeah, be that.
They need to go like 16-3 against the Marlins.
Yeah. Well, they got a sweep, so they are 5-1 against them so far in six games. So they're 2 over .500 on the year, and they're 4 over .500 in those games against the Marlins. So that's a big gap right there. But I don't know. It just continues to be like – silly, because baseball, they ejected him from the game immediately last August and then suspended him. So it's not like they just let him get away with it. But for some reason, Atlanta feel like they're just not going to feel better until we actually plunk him too.
We really need to drill this guy.
Yeah.
I think
like, and it's like, you know, Ronald Acuna knows that you've got his back.
Of
I mean,
course.
You don't need to do that. Just to, hey, we got to prove that we've got our star player. Like he's got it figured out, but now it is. It's going to be a question that's going to just hang over the just until the next time the Braves and Marlins play. If Urena pitches again, like, well, since you threw at him and missed, are you going to do it again? Because it looks like you're just going to immediately get your pitcher ejected from the game, because
right.
The umpires are aware of this. And maybe baseball's even saying, yeah, we're not going to put up with this. If you're going to throw a ball at a guy intentionally, you're going to immediately get ejected, no warning or anything.
I will say, I did see how the Braves did it. And it was one of those deals. Like, it wasn't in his head. It was behind him, lower body.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to do it, that's the way to do it.
Right. You know? But I love that umpire just stepped right out and was like, you're out of here.
You're out. Go, what? It slipped.
And I even had to go and look up. I'm like, wait, was Gausman even on the team last year? Because they got him
point,
from Baltimore. He
that
was
in August, right?
Yeah, he was. I know McCann wasn't. He was catching, but you know McCann and his level of justice. He probably had that. That's probably the reason Brian McCann even re-signed with the Braves, just so he knew that he could come and get a little justice taken care of against the Marlins. He probably knew all about that story.
He's the sheriff.
He is. He is the he's the keeper of the unwritten rules of playing the game the right way. He's got that book. One time a guy had a home run and didn't even touch home plate because of McCann.
Was that Gomez?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But hopefully he'll learn to have a little bit of fun with all those young players the Braves have on the team. Because, you know, when they hit home runs, they like to flip the bat.
because it looks good.
The guy for the White Sox, Tim Anderson, his bat flip was epic.
But he threw it into his dugout.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, whoa.
Yeah. And of course, then he got hit.
Oh, for sure.
What I love about that, though, is, like, you know, you get like the Major League Baseball's, you know, their official Twitter account or whatever. They'll tweet out, like, you know, a video of that, you know, like Tim Anderson being Tim Anderson and everything, and they'll promote it, but then they'll still suspend him when he ends up getting hit and it creates a brawl. So don't be too Tim Anderson, because we'll still suspend you for it.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing on the big picture. Like, if I just go to check a score or something on ESPN.com, it's the officiating in the Rockets-Warriors game. Oh, my gosh, in that series. Just too much talk about it.
Yeah. No, well, the teams, every time there's a whistle or not a whistle, there's just the arms go in the air and
we're
whining about it. And then there's the second game of the series where the whole story was the Rockets' least favorite official will be reffing tonight. But that game ended up then, of course, there was no problem in that game after the first game. Like, everyone was on their best behavior, but they were kind of up to their shenanigans again on Saturday night. They play again tonight. I'm looking forward to that. 9:30. I'll have that going, and the Braves and the Dodgers out west.
That would be good stuff, kind of taking you back a little West Coast baseball. This would be that time of year too, Chris, when we were kids. When school, you'd be in the late fourth quarter of the school year. Oh, the Braves. I got to watch the Cubs when you get home. Oh, Braves are on West Coast. I love it in the summer. Won't be able to stay up that late, but maybe turn on the radio and listen to it going to bed.
Yeah.
We all know in the summer, when you're a kid growing up, and the Braves, you know, we talked about this a lot back in those days, being in the NL West, 81 at home, 81 on the road. They had the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Giants. Well, you played 18 games against your division teams, 9 at home, 9 on the road. That was 27 games they were played on the West Coast, and most of them were at night. That was awesome in the summertime.
Yeah, I had to see if my mom would let me stay up to watch Ramon Martinez strike out 18 Braves.
Wasn't that like his second start, first or
it
second
start?
It
was pretty early in his career. It's funny, then he just became like, oh, he's Pedro's brother.
Pedro's brother.
Yeah.
He's the Venus Williams of the major league.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. He does have that, though. 18 strikeouts of the Braves one summer's night. All right, moving on now in the 5-5, as we've talked today, the Dogs and Oklahoma scheduling a home-and-home, which will be several years apart, though. Georgia will visit Norman, Oklahoma in 2023 with the Boomer Sooners coming here in 2031. You know, we often talk about different destinations in college football where we'd like to go and see Georgia travel. But what are some schools we'd like to actually see play at Sanford Stadium? We're getting Notre Dame out of the way this year.
Yeah, and I think we've hit so many of the big ones. You know, I'd like to see Michigan. Chris, I'll tell you one I'd like to see in the home and home, and we played them in Kirby's first game. It's North Carolina. Chapel Hill and Athens, I mean, you're talking about two of the iconic campuses. We're the oldest state-chartered university. They're next. Just when you think about the connections, I think, too, Georgia's gotten so many players from the state of North Carolina, and they're just a lot of people. I've got a ton of friends who went undergrad Georgia and went to grad school at North Carolina, who went to UNC undergrad and went to Georgia Law School or something like that. There's a lot of intermingling there. Plus, you're talking about being the state universities from bordering states. You know, this is Herschel Walker and Michael Jordan. I think Carolina would be great. And I think one thing that could be a sweetener, and I was kind of, you know, with you, and I was kind of going through looking at some future schedules, I think we need a home game in 2027. So to me, I think North Carolina would be a great home and home. And I'd throw this out there too. Let's play them home and home in men's basketball, in women's basketball, in baseball. Make it a thing, like over a 2-year period.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did that with UMass, where they came here in football, and then we played a home and home with them in basketball, which I think was connected.
But I think that would be great to get a home and home with North Carolina in football and in basketball.
Right.
And hey, listen, baseball, women's hoops, you have tennis, whatever it may be. But for North Carolina, obviously having one of the premier basketball programs, I mean, Georgia would be a draw, and obviously for us, North Carolina would be a draw.
The 2021 schedule needs some help because the home schedule in 2 years is garbage because it's San Jose State, UAB, and then Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, and Arkansas are the four home games we play in the league that year. So we need to look into getting somebody to come here in 2021 or go somewhere on the road and play somebody as a home and home. We do play at Tech that season, but for all of the – you know, that's the thing about I love what George is doing with the scheduling model, but it's the next couple of years. It's still Virginia next year in Atlanta on Labor Day. And then, again, 2021 is lousy at this point as well.
Yeah, it just might be one of those years that something doesn't come up, or if something does, it might be if you can only play once a deal, if it is a last minute thing where you would have to go neutral. And I know we don't want to do that, but the big thing what Kirby has done, I commend everybody in the athletic department who had anything to do with it. Josh Lee, who is Kirby's director of operations, does a phenomenal job, and Josh Brooks has been a big part of this as well, who does a great job. And I know for those guys and running the point on all this, it's basically, Chris, you know, when we would talk about it for so many years, it's what you want. Like over a 10-year period, I'd play Clemson four times, play Florida State twice, and then we're going to go out of region to play UCLA and to play Texas. I mean, this is, you know, when you're – and now you throw Oklahoma in there as well. And when you look at it, how you would ideally like to have the schedule drawn up, I mean, this is it. Now, there is going to be a year here and there, but because of trying to find the right dates where, you know, it might not be ideal. And obviously 2021 would look like one of those years. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we've got out through now, what, 2033, you've got another premier program scheduled for a home and home. And I guess there's another dome date with, what, Oregon and Clemson, is that right?
Yeah.
So we've got three of those in Mercedes-Benz, but the rest of them are home and home. And again, tell me what I missed. It's four with Clemson.
Florida State.
Two with Florida State. And I'm talking about actual games. Two with Florida State.
Two with Texas.
UCLA.
And now Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, and now Oklahoma. So that's a tremendous job by the football staff, by the athletic association, by everybody with the university on that. And I do really want to the two Joshes, Josh Lee and Josh Brooks, who have a lot to do with that. And I know they do so much behind the scenes. And so I guess for me, Chris, kind of going back to it, I'd like to see North Carolina. And again, when we played them in 16, we hadn't played them since the 71 Gator Bowl, Vince Dooley against Bill Dooley. So I think North Carolina would be great. And let's play them home and home in hoops, too.
Well, I wouldn't mind. I mean, Miami would be another good one, too. Yeah, North Carolina sure wouldn't be bad. I think when you go through the Big Ten, there's the Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, sure, I wouldn't want to go to, like, Michigan State, have to return a game there. Penn State would be an obvious one to do a home-and-home. Go to Sad Valley. You always hear Madison, Wisconsin's a great college town,
sure,
so that might be something, playing the Badgers. But there are enough attractive offerings around here, too, but I wonder if there is anything in the works for, because there's still a game, there's still one non-conference game that needs to be added for 2021.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's, right now, you've just got the three. So
you know, and again, I don't know, but just from what I've spliced together there, so it looks like right now 21 and 27 would potentially have openings.
I think 21 is when we were scheduled. Was that when we were scheduled to play Indiana State, but have bailed on that? So maybe, was that the year?
I think so.
All right. So maybe there is something in the works, and you know, that's why I think Indiana State said they wanted to go play Purdue or somebody, and hopefully Georgia was like, all right, sure.
How about a 2-for-1 with Tulane?
We shouldn't have been playing you anyway.
What would you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Tulane would be all right. Although they run that option now, don't they?
Let's
with Willie Fritz.
Scratch that idea.
Yeah, I don't think Kirby wants that.
No, sir.
I think he had to play with Paul Johnson last week at that golf outing they do, didn't he?
Paul Johnson, there's a man who just – does he ever smile?
There were like three times I remember him smiling.
Yeah, he is – well, no, I know. But you know what I mean. I mean, the guy on the sidelines just always
He wasn't smiling last fall, though.
No, he wasn't. That was a
that was misery.
Marvelous day. It really was. But I love what the Dogs are doing with the schedule here. I really do. So Oklahoma, Florida State, Clemson, UCLA, all the home and homes in Texas, and you know, got the single games. I'm not a fan of playing the neutral site games, but every now and then, so be it. So you got Virginia there. You've also got
Oregon in 22, Oregon and then Clemson in 24.
But the thing too, I mean, I would I think a home and home with Virginia would be okay too. Again, that's another beautiful campus there, and a lot of this too. And this goes back to Kirby being a Georgia guy through and through. So he hears it, like, from his buddies, too, you know, from his fraternity brothers, from his former teammates, that, hey, listen, no, it'd be, you know, great to go to Chapel Hill. That would be great to go to Austin. We got there, play golf, have a good time.
What would you think about Virginia Tech, or is Blacksburg a no?
Yeah. That doesn't excite me.
What about NC State? Raleigh, yay or nay?
Nah, doesn't excite. Carolina.
You want Chapel Hill?
Yeah.
Okay. There's plenty to me. Like, the Pac-12 is the place. Well, Seattle, go to Washington
would be
go
one.
To don't go to Corvallis, but no. The other place,
Eugene.
Yeah.
The thing with,
how about Cal Berkeley?
I think the thing with Washington would be, if you went there, I think the tricky part would be, but because of the going to the West Coast, that's a long way. I know you've been to Seattle before. That's a long way. You'd almost have to have an open date the week after that game.
Yeah, or play, Murray State or somebody.
But that, I mean, that's a long, long, long way to go. But that is one I would like to see. I've always kind of liked Washington. We never played them, and I just think it's really cool, that campus there on the water. But
yeah, they tailgate there.
Sure, but as far as just filling in the gaps right now, you on board with me on Carolina?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd go play there. But if they just want to come here in 21, because we could use a good non-conference game that year, and preferably at home.
It is really exciting, though, and they've done – just such a great job. And, you know, we talked about it with schedules, and of course so much is different. And you think back the 70s and 80s when you were playing six SEC games. So we played six SEC games, Clemson, South Carolina, and Tech every year. So that's nine huge games. Well, Coach Dooley also, I mean, I'll just go, we played Pitt, we played Cal, we played Oregon, we played BYU, we played Cal again in 1981, played BYU in 82 again. In 80, we played Texas A&M and TCU in addition to the nine, played UCLA in 83. So, I mean, we played a lot of, you know, it wasn't just those nine big games. There was always another premier opponent on that schedule as well. Or like in 87, we played the six SEC, Clemson, South Carolina, and Tech, and we played Virginia and Oregon State.
Yeah, and back – I mean, how did it work? Like, back then, there was no return.
Nope.
Because, I mean, I remember Texas Tech coming here in the 90s, yeah, but you'd think now, like
– yeah, you'd have to probably return.
Yeah, like, I'd have no problem if Texas Tech came to Athens again, but
– yeah, I don't want to go to Lubbock.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to have to go to Lubbock.
That's just a trap right there.
Yeah. You don't want – like, really, if you go conference by conference and, like – who Georgia should play in them. You got Texas and Oklahoma. They've scratched those two off in the Big 12. So you're really just lacking the two powerhouses in the Big 10 at this point.
And I think
with Ohio State and
for whatever, I don't
Michigan.
Have that just urge to play Ohio State. I don't know what it is. I ain't part of it. I feel like we might, there's a chance we could see them in the playoffs. Maybe it was Urban Meyer being there. I always used to pull for Ohio State in the Ohio State-Michigan game because they wore red. And, again, maybe this is just me. I would rather play Michigan home and home than Ohio State.
Well, when they go 6-6 this year with Ryan Day, you'll probably want to play him. Right?
He looks just like Jim Moore Jr., doesn't he?
Yeah, because the last time they didn't have a great coach is that one-year gap between Tressel and Meyer, and that's what they did. They went 6-6, right?
He'll probably be a little bit better than that.
Yeah. Well, they better hope Justin Fields stays healthy, though.
How about Yale in 2029?
You know, I think that'd be fine. I don't think Georgia should play programs like that, but to celebrate an anniversary of Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, I think Yale would be a good catch.
Yes, I do too.
All right, moving on to the 5-5. The Lady Dogs today announcing they have peeked into the transfer portal, and they have beamed Michaela Coombs, who played at UConn, Jeff.
What is her deal? Why is she leaving UConn? Is there a story there or what?
I think she hates Geno.
I think that is probably true, isn't it?
No, but I mean, the thing is,
they're kind of starting to fall off, aren't they? They weren't even a one seed this year.
No, they weren't. They actually lost. You know, they lost in the Final Four game. They lost three games this year.
His record in the Final Four is not good.
Now, in the national championship game, it's perfect.
Right. But he's been to like 80 Final Fours, but he's only like 10-70 or something.
There you go. But he's won 11 national championships.
Right.
So I would guess it's just it's a couple of things. I think number one, a lot of it probably comes down to playing time. And number two, I think a lot of it's probably about being homesick. And I think for a lot of kids, and listen, we've seen it with Jarvis Jones, with Demetrius Robertson. I think for some kids, it might seem, you know, chic or cool. I'm going to go all the way across the country, whether USC, Connecticut, Michigan, whatever. I'm going to go up there and play. But then you kind of realize when you get there, plus if you're going up north, those winters are brutal. And then you get there and your friends aren't there and your mom and dad can't come watch you play every game. And if something goes wrong, like when Jarvis got hurt, all of a sudden you realize, boy, I'm sure USC took good care of him, but it's not like when you're at home.
Yeah.
And so I think you throw all those things in there. Sometimes it can seem glamorous to go a long ways off. And listen, it's worked out for a lot of kids. But at the same time, if things aren't going splendid and really great all the time, I think you get some serious homesickness. So, and I think, too, I would hope that, you know, she wants to come and help Joni kind of build something here and try and get us back to the glory days.
She's going to have 2 years of eligibility.
I got to check.
I believe that's right. Okay. I think I read that. Okay. And
we just got to find out if she's going to be eligible.
Well, yeah. Well, since she's not a quarterback at a powerhouse program,
she'll probably have to sit out. But that is a good get. So then that would mean she would be eligible. Oh, God. So this coming basketball season will be the 19-20 season. So she'd be eligible in 2021, and that's when Gabby Conley and Q Morris and that group, that'd be their senior season.
Okay.
So that would be
good. So might, like, fall in. That might actually work out pretty well then.
Yeah.
From that standpoint. All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-at-5 with controversy at the Kentucky Derby. 145 runnings. Never has a winning horse been disqualified. Jeff, the question is, Maximum Security went off as the favorite, won the race, and got DQ'd because it did something it apparently wasn't supposed to do. Do you agree with the decision, Jeff?
I have two friends who carried tickets for the horse that was crowned the winner after the horse that won the race had it taken away. And being well known as 960 the Ref's foremost horse racing expert, I think Maximum Security was robbed. I think Maximum Security won the race. And one of the problems I have with this, too, is, and you're talking about the enormity of the Kentucky Derby. It's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. And as we talked in the first hour, I mean, it's got to be the biggest, longest-running major sporting event in America. To have this happen for the first time, I think it's a slippery slope. And I think just these stewards, this was nothing obvious, the amount of power they have in here. We saw something happen. We saw a horse win the race, and then they go way back and find something that I think was sketchy at best to overturn that decision. And now you start to think, well, my gosh, did Secretariat do something at the Belmont in 73? Are they going to go back and reverse that too? I mean, we see the NCAA make schools take down banners from Final Fours. I distinctly remember the Fab Five playing in back-to-back title games.
Well, do I think this is the first time that an animal did not stay in its lane during a race because
not.
That animal doesn't know that that's a rule that it has to? I'm going to guess no. It's not the first time.
Well, horse racing's been going on, they think, probably going back at least 2,500 years. I mean, going back to Egypt and Saudi Arabia. And so I would imagine as long as horse racing's been going on, Chris, gambling has been going on. And I just – there's just no telling. I would be interested to know from just different derby parties. And I had different friends that had different ones. And whether you throw in $10 and everybody – you know, draws a number for the horse, whether you were at the Derby, whether you were playing online, whether you were sitting in Vegas. I mean, this had to be, Chris, am I right? Billions of dollars affected on this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just the handle alone just at Churchill Downs was, you know, like close to $50 million.
God,
that swung just with that horse not being declared the winner. I guess it'd be different if the horse that was actually impeded or the owners of that horse are the ones that logged the complaint, but it was just
right.
It was the sour grapes of it. It was the runner-up horse, Country House, that wasn't impeded and wasn't impacted by what they said maximum security did. So, but they got their way. They ended up winning 65-1 long shot.
So that was, I believe, the second biggest long shot to ever win. I guess a lot of it would depend on when you shop.
Yeah.
And just the first time the actual winner has been overturned.
It also broke a streak of, I don't remember the exact number, but the favorite winning mm-hmm. at the Kentucky Derby had won like 6 or 7 straight races there.
And I would imagine the deal with the Derby, since it's the first one, there's probably a pretty good book, wouldn't you think, on how to get your horse primed for that first one. Now
yeah.
It's, you know, it obviously changes after that, but you've got the whole spring to start getting ready for the Derby.
There was a horse in it named Bodie something, which was my Bodie's my dog's name.
Yes, very
and,
handsome,
and,
by the way.
So I wanted to put a little something down on it, and I've come to find out that horse had never actually won a race. So that wasn't good. But then it ended up, it was in the lead early on.
Hey, come on, Bodie.
Yeah, it came out pretty hot, but ended up fading down the stretch. So I don't know. I don't know anything about horse racing other than I don't like it, but people that do know horse racing seem to not have they seem to think like the decision to DQ that horse was correct. So I'll go with them. But a lot of experts all over the place that think it was a bad deal.
All depends on which ticket you had.
Yeah. Suddenly everyone, even though they don't pay attention to horse racing, but for like 2 minutes every year are hip to the rules. But all these people that are around the sport were like, yeah, here's what it did. And it'd be DQ'd if this was like a Tuesday night at some track in, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
But
so.
Here's the thing. It wasn't a Tuesday night in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a Kentucky
Yeah,
Derby.
Well, that was their I point. Mean, it's like, are you going to – the horse should be DQ'd, and are you going to do it at the Kentucky Derby? And
they did.
So good for them. Now, they didn't just take, well, this is the Kentucky Derby, so we'll just let this horse get away with this. And what it got away with, and I'm not sure, like, why it's – not okay for, you know, an animal that doesn't really know that there are rules and stuff to – it has to stay in its lane, apparently, though. Because to me, it just looked like a horse race, horse race that I'd seen.
It wasn't one of those things where it was just blatant.
No.
Like you got slugging at the other jockey.
No, and again, the horse that complained wasn't even the one that was, like, bothered by it.
It was a weird – and I've got to think, too, and at first when Mike Tirico said, now, don't let how long this goes, you know, lead you to think one way or the other. Then after about 10 minutes, it was like, well
– no, I'm going to think that.
Something's
up. Yeah. All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.